The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-hosts and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God, in love. TSV family, welcome to part two of our look back at season one of the Spoken Verity Podcast. I am Wiley Harris III, also known as the Reverend to our faithful audience, and I am culminating the final part of our retrospect, which started with part one led by my brother Remy Echo last week. To get proper context for part two of our contemplation, please listen to part one on your chosen podcast platform. While you are there, I also invite you to listen to all of our 33 episodes. You can also do this on our website, thespokenverity.fm. We thank you for your continued love and support. Before we get started here, let's commit this time to God our Father. Spirit of the living God, we come before you thanking you just for another opportunity. And as I conduct this season one review, the second part, I just thank you that you are speaking through me, speaking through my vocal cords and thinking through my mind, that I am focused, Lord God, on what your message is for this episode, that we will continue, Lord God, to speak your word as we move forward in this next chapter, and that we will do it in love, in grace, and in truth. We know, Lord God, in humility, that we have been chosen for such a time as this. This end time message cannot be thwarted. We will not allow the enemy to usurp any authority that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We speak your word with clarity, with transparency, with honesty. We will not handle your word deceitfully. We thank you for this platform. We give you all the praise, the honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. My brother likes to refer to our podcast as your favorite podcast. And as a part of this new chapter we are embarking on together, that tagline will continue to be synonymous with our show. I also want to introduce Brother Remy's new nickname that I'll be using at times, starting with this show. I asked Holy Spirit to give me one for him, considering my moniker of the Reverend. I heard in my spirit, Sozo, which in the Greek means healed, saved, and delivered. When I told Brother Remy about it, he immediately embraced it, and so now it becomes TSV official. It is truly an honor to serve alongside Brother Sozo as we bring you the truth that is the Word of God in love. We thank you, our global audience, for walking with us on this journey. To echo, no pun intended, what my brother said in part one, we thank you for all of the prayers and the outpouring of love and support we have received from those that listen weekly. We know that our God is using us, in part, as end-time messengers to win souls. Steadfast listeners of our show know how I constantly quote the back half of Proverbs 11:30, which speaks of wisdom for those who follow that mandate from Holy Spirit. He that winneth souls is wise. This isn't something we do on our own. The first part of that verse says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. For 33 episodes, chapters in our show, if you will, our humble attempt was to yield to Holy Spirit to use us to win souls for the kingdom of God by being his mouthpiece to draw all men into Jesus Christ. We will continue to present the fruit of righteousness as directed by Holy Spirit. This comes from the inerrant word of the living God. For the preset number of episodes our God has already decided for us, we will continue in that same vein, seeking his guidance to continue in his will. Now, before I start to preach here, TSV family, let's take a look back at episode one's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Please tune your spiritual ears to a couple of excerpts from the conversation of our foundational first episode, I Led With My Brothers.
Okay, today's episode, episode one, is going to focus on what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We will discuss what that looks like in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ by providing foundational scriptures and commentary as building blocks for all of those who have professed that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is also for the unbeliever who is or will be led by Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. Here at TSV, we believe it's important for us to establish from the very beginning of this podcast who Jesus is, what we believe, what we do in our lives that reflects Christ, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ for our listeners, so that there is no ambiguity. There is no question as to where we stand. So in my humble attempt to unpack this episode's focus, I will ask two leading questions to our co-hosts and then ask the focus question. These leading questions and answers will provide unmistakable clarity to our positions, to the discussion question, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that we're doing all of this at a high level, since this is just a one-hour show, but this is the foundation for all of our future episodes that will be built off of. So, firstly, who is Jesus Christ? Co-host Brother Remy for this episode, let us know, who is Jesus Christ?
So, this is a very easy and a very hard question. It reminds me of this, I don't know if it's a story or some fable that ever came up, but I heard about how they asked a couple of blind people to describe an elephant. And based on the parts they were touching, you know, they were going, oh, he's this, he's that. So I say that to say we could describe Christ, or we will describe Christ or attempt to describe Christ based on the Bible, but also in our personal life. So the Bible declares that Christ is the Son of God. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the living Word. He is the head of the church. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the sacrifice for our sins. That is who Jesus is. There is no question about that. He is the reason Son of God. I have to put that in there. You know, he is the risen Son of God. He died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven, and we are expecting him to come back pretty soon. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. So that is who Jesus Christ is. It also reminds me about this passage in Matthew 16, 15, when he asked, okay, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied that you are Christ, right. Son of the living God.
Amen.
That's it. You know, we could add all and all to it, but at the very basic, that is who Jesus Christ is. He is my Lord and Savior to me personally. He is my protector. He is my provider. He is my healer. He is my high priest interceding for me. He is access to the throne of grace. It is his righteousness that makes me clean.
Episode one. Wow. That was some time ago. And even then, my brother Sozo was doing his part in laying the foundation for the Spoken Verity podcast. The importance of this episode has even more relevance today than it did when we had this end time conversation. As the host of that show, I was given the privilege by my brothers to set the table, so to speak, for all of our future episodes. A part of our Holy Spirit-directed goal was to establish for you our now global audience, who we follow, Jesus Christ, what that means for us and how we live our lives, and how we lead this purpose podcast. Let's pick back up episode one with my brother answering the question, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's go to the last question here in terms of the focus question. When it says, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Brother Remy, you want to step in here and take that?
Yes. So there is this verse in Luke 9:23, again from the Amplified Version, and it says, "And he, being Christ, said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also." What it means to follow Christ for me, it's I am a bond servant, meaning that my life is no longer mine. The life I now live, as Paul said, is in Christ. I am solely, like, fully committed to him as Lord and Savior. He is master of my life. So he directs my steps. He orders everything that I do. There is no part of me that is separate from him. My marriage, my business, my dreams, my desires. My life is not compartmentalized, like, okay, this part I'll keep away. You can have all that. No, all part of me, all of me. And this is something that has been done in process, right? None of us, I can boldly say, none of us are saying we are perfect, because there is none. It is only him. But this is my heart desire. Are there days where there's disobedience or I'm stubborn or pride? Yeah. And the Holy Spirit, that indwelling spirit, helps me to get better, helps me to walk. But my desire, my soul confession is I am his. I belong to him. He guides me. He orders my steps. He leads me every single day to become more like him.
The forthrightness of my brother's answer there was palpable. In sharing Luke 9:23, he added to the discourse the fact that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, must deny ourselves by laying down our self-ambition and follow Christ. This is a daily enterprise and will only be efforted by your will. God will not make you do this. We demonstrate, by an act of our will, our fidelity to God, our yieldingness to his sovereignty, following Jesus Christ by his Spirit, for us to ultimately be more like him. Episode 1 is on your chosen podcast platform. Take a look back with us and refresh your spirit on the verity that is the Word of God as you reinforce in your spirit what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As I continue in this retrospect, I'm going to turn our attention to the importance of family in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ. Our God designed the family to first start with the marriage union between a man and a woman. That union, that covenant, is the only authorized place by our sovereign God for his human creation to bring children in the earth. We know that this isn't always followed explicitly by people, even believers, but those actions in no wise change the truth. Chapter 6 of the Spoken Verity podcast detailed for our listeners what a Christ-centered marriage looks like, led by Brother Remy.
Today, our focus will be on marriage, specifically how we as kingdom men keep Christ at the center of our unions. What does a Christ-centered marriage look like? That's kind of the main focus for our discussion. In setting the foundation for our conversation today, and I believe we touched on this a bit in episode 4, we at the Spoken Verity podcast believe that marriage is between a man and a woman and was created before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And two scripture passages I want to use to expand on that is Genesis 2:24. It says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And also, if going to the New Testament, we have Matthew 19 from verse 4 to 6. And this was Christ responding to a Pharisee. It says, "And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So those two scripture passages, it's kind of how we establish in that foundation. There are a lot of other passages that you can also refer to, but we wanted to make sure that that foundation is established. We know also that because we are believers, that marriage is not merely a social contract. It's a sacred covenant. It's not simply a means of looking for love, happiness, and fulfillment. That's part of it. But it's a covenant that's established by God. And since that's what we hold to be true, it also should be stated that it can never operate to its fullest potential without the ongoing involvement of God, the origin of it, right? It's quite possible for couples to be married, work hard at their relationship, you know, read self-books, watch maybe shows relating to that, learn to how to serve each other and end up having a pretty good relationship. And all those things are good. You read books and you get on maybe marriage courses and all that. But that does not necessarily make it a Christ-centered marriage. Because when you say a Christ-centered marriage, what we're trying to say here is that Christ, he is that point around which the husband and wife orbit, right? Their whole universe finds its existence and purpose in relationship to Jesus Christ. You know, not everything that is good is God. That's what I'm saying.
That snippet from Sozo's opening began our conversation on the Christ-centered marriage topic. I love how he provided clarity in the sense that we can put forth a lot of natural works in our attempts to make our marriages whole and sound, but without it being centered, orbited was my brother's word, around Jesus Christ, then those efforts will ultimately prove futile in relation to the marriage being Christ-centered. I weighed in on the topic this way.
Well, brothers, as you all know, I have been married for going on, it'll be 22 years this year. And
amen.
The journey of it is an enjoyable one. And the older you get, the more you reflect on where God has taken you from to where you are now, and you value what you've experienced. And not only from what my wife and I have experienced, but then being able to share that with our children, which you are essentially grown. I mean, our daughter is 23 and our son is 18. So they've lived in a life of stability in terms mm-hmm. of the home with myself and my wife. And so a Christ-centered marriage for us, through that lens, my lens really isn't the only lens. I mean, and my wife's lens obviously is a huge part of this. And I know that at some point we'll bring our wives on to have mm-hmm. a conversation about this. But, you know, as I'm wont to do, I definitely consulted with her in answering all of these questions, because her optic carries just as much weight as mine.
Come on.
And when God has brought two individuals together for one purpose, that's what he did with us. Now, obviously, when we were very young, I don't know exactly, and I'll let her kind of speak more to that in terms of her knowing that I was who she was supposed to be with. Mm. I was a little bit more wayward, should I say, back then. So there were my thought process in terms of marriage and just the female gender specifically wasn't probably the best in terms of how you handled those situations. And so these were things that God was doing. And, you know, when scripture says, what I've brought together, let no man tear asunder, that's what he did with us. And so I asked her this question, and she told me that our Christ-centered marriage is based on the word of God. So anything that has to do with marriage and scripture is what we've based our marriage on. There's honor and respect on both ends. Praying as a unified front and standing our ground against the enemy or any other demonic force that comes to our marriage and our family. Our marriage is not based on controlling a person or being superior over the other, but instead we are united in fulfilling God's purpose for our marriage, which is becoming a formidable bond that cannot be broken. That's what she believes our purpose is in terms of our Christ-centered marriage. And I think that just
unpacking this a little bit, she referenced something that I think that we all have to do in terms of our marriage, and that's fight for it. There are going to be people, unfortunately, even within your family unit, that will attempt to come between you and your spouse. That union, that relationship, other than your relationship with Holy Spirit, is your most important relationship.
Yeah.
Part of our development for season one led us to how we conduct our conversations, and part of that was asking and answering three questions for our audience. Considering the vitality of this topic, I was compelled by Holy Spirit to engage with my wife in helping me answer these questions my brother posed for us to answer. Just as Brother Remy said in his opening and I championed in this selected piece of our conversation, a Christ-centered marriage is based on the Word of God and all that the Word says about that covenant. Jesus Christ is the Word. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The grace and truth that is the Word of God must be the foundation, the centered focus for a Christian marriage. Whether you are married or single, take the time to revisit this chapter in our podcast and continue to build into your spirit the significance of a Christ-centered marriage. The third episode in our look back is episode 14, and it started a subtle shift in our approach to addressing what Scripture says about justice in the world. Until this chapter, we had not really discussed in any detail what our God is saying in His Word concerning justice and forgiveness. Micah 6:8 says, "He hath showed thee, O man, O mortal man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Operating justly starts in the heart, where all the issues of life flow from. In Romans 5:5, we see that as a believer in Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit has shed the love of God in your heart. That is the lens in which you must view and then walk out this mandate. Brother Arthur Medina leads this chapter of our podcast as he unpacks justice and the execution of judgment through his personal testimony. Let's listen.
I have shared my past that I'm not proud about. As a juvenile, I was charged with a capital murder offense. And I'm so sorry. And I always say, man, I wish I could undo and change what happened during the ignorance of my youth, but I can't. No matter how hard I wish and try and whatever, but what I can do is live my life today as the man of God that I am.
Amen.
And I live my life repentantly each and every day. So let me answer the question about supporting capital punishment. I would say, first and foremost, that had I been convicted of the crime at that time in Texas, it was perfectly legal to give the death sentence to juveniles, which is what I was. And quite frankly, had I been convicted, I ended up convicted for murder, but I should have been executed. That is just being a brutally honest answer, because at that time in my life, I was so confused. I had all these issues going on in my life. And because of my immaturity and irresponsibility, I was acting out a certain way and just hatred towards everybody. You know, I used to always say, yeah, I'm prejudiced. I hate everybody, including myself. You know, and that's just the brutal, honest truth right there. I believe I should have been executed at that time. And if the state of Texas had executed, they would have been perfectly right to do so. Because at that time, at the age of 17, all the way into the age of 21, I behaved in such a manner that, yes, I should have been executed. A man died because of me. Hmm. And then, to make matters worse, I got involved in the prison system and got caught up in gangs and became a terrorist. Hmm. You know, I was trying to be John Gotti or Scarface, and I behaved worse than Bin Laden, I think.
Wow.
Mm. And there was just so much in my life at that time. Now, as I look at this in retrospect, I realize, too, that because of my age, we learned that you're really still developing at that time, because you really don't know how to process different situations or circumstances that happen in life. And you think you know everything, but you don't, because there's no life experience. There's no just different stuff. Now, in no way am I trying to justify my actions. I am not attempting to rationalize the things that transpired or make excuses for anything that happened that I did or anyone else for that matter. What I'm simply saying is, as a Christian, can we support capital punishment? My answer is yes.
This subject matter, out of all the topics my brothers and I discussed in our 33 episodes together, was one of the toughest to expand upon as it relates to Arthur's experience. I don't know of anyone who has a testimony like that. To be incarcerated for 27 years for that type of crime, Arthur still had the humility to state that according to the law, he should have been executed. And he was right when he made that assertion. However, as you listen to the rest of the episode, you will hear how God delivered our brother from that prison setting and the fact that it wasn't our God's plan for him to die in that state. As Brother Sozo and I begin this next chapter of TSV, we are reminded of God's grace and mercy, even when we commit unspeakable acts, and how we are to show that same grace and mercy to others. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Brother Arthur received that correction during his incarceration, and God is using him now to witness to those who were in the same state as he was. Our brother knows he has our support in this area, and in any area, Holy Spirit directs us to assist. For our 22nd installment and the fourth episode I will highlight, Holy Spirit led me to start a series titled The Divisions Among Us, with a spotlight on the color of our skin. We also had substantive discourse on doctrine and denominations as a part of that series. This end time message opened the oftentimes uncomfortable conversation regarding separation in the church due to the color of our skin. When people say they don't see color, they are dismissing the initial impression God chose for us to exhibit to the world. Along with our gender, our skin color was ordained by God before the foundations of the world, and we cannot change it. Our God purposed it. We should see the color of one's skin as one of the expressions of God himself to the world. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." The color of our skin was and is God's choice. To deal with someone disproportionately different than you would yourself or those connected to you because of the color of someone's skin, your very faith in Jesus Christ must be called into question. James 2 verse 1 bears this out. This is from the New Living Translation. "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? You favoring your skin color or another skin color over any other makes you a respecter of persons, as this verse says in the King James, and calls your salvation into question. This position is also used by the enemy of our souls to disrupt unity in the church." Listen to my brother here as he articulates what Holy Spirit gave him for our discourse. We are talking about divisions among us, and focusing on the color of our skin in episode 22. Brother Remy, as we come to the midway part of our communion, commence this portion of our conversation and answer the second question I laid out in my opening. Using Acts 17, 26 through 28, and other supporting scriptures you are led to share as a backdrop, what does one blood mean, and how can that be taught in our churches to battle the prejudiced spirit attempting to keep its stronghold among those that confess Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives?
Thank you, brother. So I'm going to read Acts 17, 26 from the New King James Version. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Two things that point out right there, right? God is the maker, one. And two, he made all these ethnic groups from one blood or one man, if you will, right? So this affirms that the human race exists because of our creator, not some, again, Big Bang or whatever theory it's out there, evolutionary theory that is being taught in the culture. Another point it brings up is the common thread of the unity and dignity of the human race, leaving no trace for any racial superiority. In my contribution to the first segment of today's episode, I referenced Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Now, when we bring that verse together with the verity we find in Acts 17, 26, what we see then is that members of all ethnic groups are made in the image and likeness of our sovereign God. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are not only united to each other in the commonality of being in the image of God, but even more so, as members of the same body. We find that verity in Romans 12, from verse 4 through 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So we could look at that, right, from the perspective that the body of Christ has black hands connected to white shoulders with a brown neck, if we want to put that color on it, right? As he stated in Romans 12. We could also see that as believers in Jesus Christ from every ethnic group, we are not only one body, but we are also one family. We find that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God.
Sozo rightly focuses on unity here. He understands that we are all different expressions of our sovereign God, but that unity of our faith in Jesus Christ is only confirmed by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. If you have chosen to look at someone differently than you look at yourself due to their skin color, you are denying the Spirit of God that so purposed the natural house they walk the earth in. You are rejecting God's sovereignty in this area. I added to the conversation this way. As his children, his offspring, we are to pursue him and find him to know why we exist. We have our very lives because of God. To allow anyone to place us in a category pursuant to the color of our skin or a subculture that is based upon our skin color is to subvert the truth that God created us from one blood, for us to seek the Lord and find our purpose in him. Our unity doesn't derive from our physical similarities. Our oneness comes from belief and confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the only distinction we must draw between each other. And in that case, as led by Holy Spirit, avail yourself to him to win the souls of those who are lost and are walking in darkness. If you view another differently because of skin color or any other difference currently being used by the enemy, you are operating in sin. the brevity of that clip doesn't diminish its relevance to the conversation. Part of why we are different expressions of our God in the earth is so that we can see him and experience him in different ways, centered on the unity of faith in Jesus Christ. If you only associate and engage with those that look like you, you will miss his purpose for connection in the body of Christ. Your view of our God will be limited to the people expressions that you have around you, as opposed to the fullness of the whole body of Christ expressed through believers of all the nations of the earth. My brothers and I covered a lot of ground in that first engagement of the series. I encourage you to meditate on this episode and the other two episodes in that series and ask Holy Spirit how you can aid in the healing work that is still needed concerning prejudice in the church, concerning denominations, concerning doctrine. I am certain Holy Spirit will prompt us to continue this conversation when it's time. I believe it is apropos here to conclude part two of our retrospect of season one by directing our attention to the core and essence of who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. Earlier, I referenced a portion of Romans 5:5. I will read that verse in its entirety here. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is in us, TSV family. This is who we are, even when we don't operate in it. It is the foundational attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, because God is love, and he expresses his love through his Spirit, all the while asking us to do so as well by lovingly compelling us to draw from what he has placed in our hearts. Brother Remy led this final chapter that we are highlighting for our time together. However, I will start with one of my answers to his questions on love. Specifically, what is love? You know, this question, as you mentioned in your opening, is something that we as human beings, whether we're believers or unbelievers, are searching for. There is a place in our hearts that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, believers and unbelievers look to fill that place with everything that is not in Scripture. And what they need to be doing is searching for and relying upon Jesus Christ to fill that void. So when answering this question, I know that you like general questions so that we can engage on various levels concerning your ask.
Yes, sir.
However, 1 John 4:10 is very explicit as to what love is. This is from the King James, what it says, herein is love. So, you know, when you're asking the question, you're searching for it. If Google doesn't take you to 1 John 4:10, then it's going to be directing you in a place that's not love. From the biblical perspective of who we know our God to be, which is love. So it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Come on.
So your question here is, what is love? Not who is love, but I believe you are looking for what love does, and that is to give. God sending himself in the person of Jesus Christ is love. He is love.
Come on.
So the what and the who here are synonymous. God's acts of love cannot be separated from him because he is love. He's Amen. The what, he's the who. He encompasses and embodies love because he is love.
Amen.
Again, in 1 John 4:10, it clearly shows the very act of love to be God giving himself for us. That's the very definition when it says herein is love. So again, it's very simple. And sometimes we want to make this complicated.
Yes.
To figure out, is it eros or is it, well, all of these different Greek words?
And look,
I'm not suggesting that that doesn't have some level of validity to the conversation. But at TSV, we always, by his grace, not perfectly, but are goal and our aim is to endeavor to speak the truth, the word of God, in every area of our lives and every time that we come on the air. So Amen. When it says herein is love, that's it. Like, let's not even try to attach anything else to it. Anything else is a subcategory that'll point us back to God Almighty through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Herein is love. Wow, what a wonderful and a powerful proclamation from Holy Spirit. For us to be able to share the love of God to others as directed by Holy Spirit, we must know what love is and where it comes from. We must also be willing to do so. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." In light of that eternal truth, in light of that verity, Brother Sozo wraps up our communion together with this.
As we have defined today, God is love. This is not a subject that we will surrender to the world to define. This is a subject we have to define, as we have read several scriptures like John 13:34. Through 35, where we were commanded to love. This is a central characteristic of a believer in Christ, how much we love others. It is so important. God is love. And if he dwells in us, Christians should be love as well, if you will. Brother Wally touched on this, but I'll just add this little piece, because like I said, he literally read my closing monologue. If you are an unbeliever and you've listened to this episode, it is so important. Brother Otto read these two verses, but I'll read them again. John 15:13. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So if you've been listening to this episode and you would like to have not just the definition of love, but also understand how to walk in love, and also understand why love is the greatest of these, and most importantly, have love, the person of love in you, as Brother Wally said, that God is a combination of the who and the what is love. To have the person of love in you, it is our honor to invite you. Go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation and let the Holy Spirit lead you to receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. It will be the best decision you have ever made. He is love personified.
He is love personified. I love that declaration by Brother Remy. And you know, he talks about the preaching gift that I have. However, it's my turn to now give him that same praise. Scripture says to let another man praise you and not your own lips. Brother Sozo captured the essence of our continued mission here at TSV during that episode as we move into our next season together. We as believers in Jesus Christ are the embodiment of God's love in the earth, because he is love and he dwells in us. Part of our love expression to you, our global audience, is to allow Holy Spirit to use us to draw all men to Jesus Christ by him. We don't take this privilege lightly, nor do we use it to handle the word of God deceitfully. We will operate in honesty and transparency with ourselves and our audience in only speaking the word of God, not merely talking about the word. My brother and I leave you with 2 John 2, Verse 3, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Be sure to join us next week as the hosts of your favorite podcast recap our two-part retrospect and reiterate the vision and direction from Holy Spirit for the Spoken Verity podcast. We love you. And we thank you for your prayers and your continued support. Let's close part 2 of our season 1 review in prayer. Father, I just thank you for the time that you allowed me to have in spending with our audience. We know, Lord God, that this opportunity to speak on this platform has been so purposed by your Spirit. And we know, Lord God, and recognize that this privilege is something that we don't take lightly. As a part of this retrospect, this review of season one, Father, we look at it in humility because we know that there were challenges. We know that there were places that you allowed us to navigate through. And only by your Spirit, Father God, we are where we are right now. As we continue to speak in transparency and honesty, in the unity of the faith, Father, we will continue to speak your word as written. We will not handle the word of God deceitfully. We will not place our personal experience above what the word of God says. We stay in your truth. Your word is truth. In humility, Father, we continue to thank you for this platform, to thank you for the opportunity to be mouthpieces for you in this end time world. We will stay in your truth, studying to show ourselves approved unto you, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is our mandate. This is a part of our purpose. And we do it in love for our global audience. Thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. We thank you for TSV and the reach that you allowed us to have now and in the future. We just thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your risen personal Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.